You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Since we last had Delay Ugunrunula on our program, his opinion piece about being Black in Boise and America has been published by the Idaho Statesman. However, that is not all he's been up to. In an effort to educate Boiseans and to get hard data on perceptions of policing in the area, Delay created a long survey on just that, which collected more than 1,800 responses. Now, this large amount of data is helping inform the policy discussions that he has started with city officials. And Delay is joining us now to talk more about this. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be back. It's good to be here.
Okay, so 1,800 responses. That is that's a lot. Did you expect that much?
I didn't. And the really, really like affirming thing was that it happened in under 24 hours. Like,
holy cow.
I put it on Twitter. I know. I put it on Twitter. I put it on Facebook. And like a bunch of people just pushed it out to their friends. And the reason I needed so many responses is because the statistical models that we're applying to this, you need a certain amount of responses in order for them to be statistically significant, that type of thing. So yeah, I mean, 1,800 responses, it's been kind of nuts being able to like analyze what the data looks like, look at the trends, stuff like that. It's been awesome.
So before we get into some of the trends that you're finding, I'm curious to know what were some of the questions that you asked?
Yeah. So most of the questions I asked were just kind of like an information based. So for example, like one of the questions I asked is nationwide, police departments have consistently increasing rates of solving crimes, even though their budgets have increased threefold in the past 40 years. Cases for rape / sexual assault, for example, according to the FBI database on sexual assault, police closed on just 32% of rape cases nationwide, and hundreds of thousands of rape kits have sat untested in police stations for years. The question was, should the budget keep increasing in the future based on this information? And we had 1,800 respondents. Yeah. And so 96% of them said no. And then 3.9% of them said yes.
Wow. Okay. So you are... Yeah. So you're in the final stages of analyzing this data right now. So talk about some of the trends that you're finding.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, the first and most notable one is I asked a question about safety in the presence of police. And I discovered that race is actually the number one determining factor in whether or not someone feels safe when in the presence of police officers. So the question is, in situations involving law enforcement, how safe do you feel in general? And it was on a 1 to 4 scale, 4 being very safe, 1 being not safe at all. And the number one determining factor, i.e. all of the non-white folks answered a 1 or 2, and everyone who was white answered a 3 or a 4, which, I mean, doesn't necessarily surprise me, but I think it's important to note that, like, you know, the Boise community may not be serving their underrepresented populations as well as they think that they are. Additionally, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily understand the way that policing happens. So like a question that I asked is, it says currently police are not required to consider past disciplinary records when hiring and rehiring officers who have records of misconduct and abuse. And so 92% of officers who were sanctioned or disciplined for their positions were actually able to duck past actions and get new jobs. So 71% of people were like, wow, this is new information. I never thought about this. But then the same proportion of people, so 60% of that 71%, I don't know if you're following me, it might be kind of difficult to track, but 61% of that 71% of people who answered, yes, this is new information, actually voted no to defunding the police. And to me, that's really strange because it's like, if we understand that there's discrepancies and misaccountabilities in the model, why would we not at least entertain a discussion of restructuring the model so that it fits better and functions better? And then some other things that I noticed is, so one of my final questions is, if you were in charge of federally handling the crisis that is police brutality, what initiatives would you take to correct some of these injustices? Please select only 4. And I gave 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 options. And so the most selected answer, the answer that had 1,344 responses, was cut the police budget by at least 50%. That is the number one response. And that to me was really, really shocking just based on the demographics of the people who took the survey. And then the second one, the second most prominent response was is suspending paid administrative leave for all the officers who were under investigation for misconduct and/or police brutality. Basically, what this means is that there's a lot of people who understand that, like, oh, police officers should not be, allowed to misbehave like this. But the actual wording, defunding the police, is what makes people uncomfortable, right? And so they hear
Right.
defund the police, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of misnomers. But that's why I thought the survey was really important, because it kind of walked people through, okay, like, here's the problem. Here's how it's been proliferated. Here's the historical record. Here's the data in contemporary society. And here are the specific actions that would, be things that we view as solutions. Please select which solutions you think are most prominent. And so people selected solutions that were in favor of defunding the police. And so that's what, like, my ultimate goal was, hey, I, may not have understood defunding the police up to this point, but now I have a better understanding of what that means.
Well, and it's interesting too because you put that that defund word in there, and I think there's an assumption being made that you want to get rid of police. And I would venture to say that that is a very, very small fraction of people within this movement. It is that idea of reallocating funds, right? And how do we do that? But also it's that perception that you talked about. So you are have now been in contact with the mayor's office in Boise, because I'm assuming you don't want all of this survey information to just sit on a shelf. So what do you hope will come from these conversations that you've been having within the mayor's office?
Yeah, and I mean, to be clear, we've only had one real conversation, and that was a very brief overview, just to be transparent. But my goal is to convince Mayor McLean, that we need to restructure the discussion about police in Boise. And really, I mean, get this to the state and local levels, because there's a lot of things that are wrong in the society. But basically, what I talked to Mayor McLean about was just about holding spaces for accountability and holding spaces for information. And so the reason why I think there's a lot of misinformation out there is that a lot of this data point, this information, is not informed by people of color. It's not informed by Black folks. It's not informed by Indigenous folks. It's not informed by queer folks. And so if we want a holistic approach, right? If I'm a teacher and I want to make sure that my classroom is actually giving, the best education to all 22 of my potential students, I would want to hear back from all 22 of my potential students, right? Like, that's the natural, logical thing to do. And so the point of this survey was to make Mayor McLean aware, like, okay, there is a demographic that is missing from the narrative, right? And that is what we need to talk about here, is that we are underserving specific groups of people, and that's what I want you to approach. Long-term goals as far as actual policy solutions is, I need us to abolish the rule that says that police officers are put on paid administrative leave if they're under misconduct or abuse investigations. To me, that's ridiculous. I also think that we need to completely and totally get rid of the rule that allows the state or municipality to pay for misconduct settlements. So if a police officer is under investigation and they're actually, like, found guilty or culpable in the situation, they aren't even the ones that pay. The city, county, or state pays for that settlement, whatever amount that is, amongst a bunch of other things. But Mayor McLean has been open to discussions. It seems like we invited them. There was a town hall on Friday of last week where we kind of talked to them about defunding the police, talked to them about specific policies in the BPD budget that didn't make sense, so on and so forth. So that's what's been happening.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to DeLay Ugwunrula about his work bringing issues of racial justice to the attention of Boise City officials. Within your survey, did you ask any questions about qualified immunity? Because this is also something that I think the general public may not have been aware of until the killing of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and we're starting to hear that, that phrase, qualified immunity.
Yeah, qualified immunity is a terrible, horrible thing. I didn't ask any questions about it in my survey, just because, like, the survey was almost already 20 questions long, and I think that qualified immunity is something that, like, deserves its own thing, just because it's so nuanced. And for those who don't necessarily know what qualified immunity is, it's a Supreme Court doctrine that protects police officers in cases of misconduct. And basically what it says is that in order for a defendant or a survivor or a victim to accurately or successfully get a conviction, they need to provide a scenario. So they need to provide a scenario that was the exact same in context, circumstance, action, as well as outcome. Right. So all of those pillars have to be successfully proven in order for you to prove, OK, this police officer was guilty. Otherwise, the police officer just gets to claim qualified immunity and they're oftentimes let off. That's why 92% of the time, officers who are investigated for misconduct and or brutality just get off, because qualified immunity protects them in almost every situation. Just imagine if a police officer comes up to me in the middle of the day and does something to me that is frankly and totally like abusive and or like, for example, George Floyd, right? Like, there's no reason for anyone to step on someone's neck with their knee for 9 minutes while this person is, you know, exclaiming that they can't breathe. The really, really difficult thing is that for the prosecutor in this case to get a successful conviction, they will have to provide an example of a police officer stepping on someone's neck for a comparable amount of time, having the defendant scream out for that same comparable amount of time, right? Like, all of the situational scenarios have to line up exactly in order for them to get a successful conviction. And that is how we're protecting police officers at the big criminal justice institutional legal level. And that's where the problem is.
And before I let you go, the last time we chatted, your op-ed was about to be published. I'm in the Idaho Statesman. We will put a link on our website, folks, because it's worth a read. What has the response been to it?
It's been really, really affirming and really, really supportive, which I'm very thankful for. A lot of the people have reached out to me, have said, thank you for, writing this. And I didn't write it by myself. The op-ed in the Idaho Statesman was co-authored by myself and a fellow organizer, Nisha J. Newton, and they're wonderful. But anyways, the response to the article in the op-ed has been really, really affirming. There's been a few instructors, both at Boise State, CWI, and a local high school, who have reached out to me and asked me if they could integrate it into their curriculum, which has been just, short of amazing and stuff like that. Right. So the support has been really great. I mean, I feel like people are really listening. People are kind of learning and educating themselves. Make no mistake, right? Like, we needed this effort 4 or 5 years ago. We needed this kind of traction 4 or 5 years ago, and it shouldn't take the death of numerous Black and brown people in order for people to be like, oh, I should care about this. But I'm still glad that the people are finally like tuning into the narrative, tuning into the story. It's just because it's really important that we talk about this stuff. But the article in the Statesman has been received well for the most part that I know of. A lot of people have been, reaching out to me. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us about this. We've been talking with Dele Ogunrula, a Boise State student working to advance racial justice in our state. You're listening to Idaho Matters.